Thanks so much again for being here and being part of what God's up to here at URA Community Church. My name's Ron, and I'm the lead pastor here if you don't know me. But we're just glad that today we get to worship. I don't know if you're like me, but I'm so thankful that my worship and song doesn't depend on how well I can sing. Because sometimes it wouldn't be so good. But it's so good that we can worship the fact that our debt is paid and, man, our Savior is alive and just loves us. And so we can be thankful for that. Well, today as we go into this second week of our series titled Why, we're gonna answer one of the most asked questions that we ask, whether we're Christians or not Christians or whatever. And that's what this whole series is about. It's about looking at some of the deeper why questions that we ask and not getting my opinion or someone else's opinion, but getting the biblical reasons why sometimes our why questions are asked and what the answers are to them. Next week, we're going to answer one of those questions that I think we deal with a lot, and is why do bad things happen to good people? And I think we've all at some point experienced that question. We're going to talk about the next week on Mother's Day. Why would God choose to use me? You know, I think a lot of times mothers feel very inadequate. Not that fathers don't, but mothers just, you know, there's a lot on you, a lot of expectations, and you're dealing with a lot. And so you've probably found yourself at some point saying, why would God use me in this role? And so for mothers, that day we're gonna do our best to answer that. And for the rest of us to answer why would God use us in the things that he wants done. And so despite our doubts and fears and all of our insecurities, that God wants to do something great in us. And so that's where we're going to be. And again, we're going to have our parent-child dedication after that. And so we really want you to be part of that. Today we're going to answer that question, why didn't God answer my prayers? So let's just be honest in the room. If you've ever asked that question, just lift up your hand. Yeah, because I think we've all prayed prayers in some form or fashion that we feel like God didn't answer. Whether we wonder if he even heard it or whatever, but it's like, why didn't he do what I asked him to do? And so I think it's one of those questions that often people struggle with when it comes to even letting their faith be real. It's one of those questions that I think gets in the way of sometimes people even moving forward with accepting who Jesus is and the salvation that he brings, because they prayed this prayer expecting something to happen and it didn't happen. And you know, if you've seen the movie God's Not Dead, you remember the professor, he struggled with it because he had prayed for his mom to be healed of cancer when he was a child and it didn't happen, and so therefore he didn't believe God in God at all, that God exists. And so he was angry. And so I think there's a lot of us that fall into that. And so this question is really important that we begin to try to wrap our minds around it and begin to understand biblically why God may not answer our prayers. Because listen, there's all kinds of stories out there and different things that we understand in the scriptures about it. And even there's scripture that makes us believe that he should just answer what we ask. John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14 asks this question, and says this, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. And so we typically will tack on Jesus' name into whatever we ask and expect him to do it because the scripture said it. And so then when it doesn't happen the way we want it to, we become bitter and angry and we kind of take our ball and go home. And I got to tell you that there's more to it than that. And so I want to help us be able to understand that. We read that scripture and it says, just ask whatever in my name and I'll do it for you. We read in the accounts of Joshua who prayed for the sun to stand still. And God did it. It stopped. It's an amazing account in the scriptures of what happened. And we see that and we say, God, if you can make the sun stand still, surely you can do what I'm asking you. Here we see the account of Daniel in the lion's den. And here he is praying, and God takes these hungry lions and he puts them on a diet for him. And he doesn't eat Daniel. We see Jonah who gets thrown into the sea, gets swallowed up by a big old fish, and gets thrown up onto the beach, literally, and here he, because he prayed that God would forgive him and save him. And so here we see these accounts and we're thinking, man, God, all I wanted was for you just to do this little thing. And you did that. I know you got it. But then when it doesn't happen, we really struggle to find the truth in it and be able to find faith in it. And so we've asked those questions and we've asked him to do things and it's not happened. And so we got to be able to learn how to deal with that and to help understand what that looks like for us. I know for me as a pastor, I mean, I'm always telling answered prayer stories, right? I mean, that's what we do. We tell stories so that faith is built and that you can have something to grab onto and hold onto. And so there's these times where we ask God to do things and we want to see the answers happen. When we see it's just one of those interesting things, because I tell you, there's so many of them where I've prayed for things though and God didn't happen. One time I had the honor of praying at a football game, right? I got to say the prayer over the loudspeaker and it was really cool. So I prayed this amazing prayer, right? And I prayed that everybody would be kept safe. And before halftime, there was one carted out in the back of an ambulance. That didn't look so good, did it? We pray prayers and then we expect it to be answered, and when it doesn't, it's kind of like you scratch your head. I think about the night that I got the call that my mom was not doing well, and my dad was calling 911, and the ambulance came and picked, they got her loaded up, and things were okay. She was alert and she was awake, and so I remember, I'll see you at the hospital. They loaded her up, and between home and there, she had trouble breathing. They weren't able to get her intubated, and by the time she got to the hospital, she was not doing very well. I remember there, while they were working on her and treating her, praying and asking God to heal her and make it be okay. And I remember coming to the point of realizing that it wasn't going to be okay. And I had to shift my prayers then from, God, heal her, to, okay, God, whether you heal her or not, I'm going to have to trust you in this, that you know what you're doing. It's one of the most difficult moments of prayer in my life. Was trying to make that shift and without being angry and bitter that he didn't do what I asked him to do. Now, I think about this on Friday was just a really weird day for me because, I got to go off to this conference this week and I was with these other pastors and church leaders from all over the country, and we were having this great, amazing time of worship and just learning things and being able to just grow and feeling like God was just doing such good things. And then Thursday night, I get a call or a text, and it's like, hey, can you do a funeral on Friday for someone, for an uncle, for a husband, a father? He's lost his battle with cancer, and could you do the funeral? And then Friday, I do the funeral. I find out that a good friend of ours from our home church that we've been praying for, who had colon cancer, who's 45 years old, who, you know, been married, you know, to the same guy 27 years. They've got kids. Things are going well. And she lost that battle. I think she won it, but you get what I'm saying. She passed away. I get a text message yesterday afternoon from my sister that my niece, who had been struggling and trying to get pregnant and had gone through all of these steps and spent all this money and done all of these things, that was finally pregnant with twins. She lost them. We prayed and prayed and prayed that she would get pregnant, and she finally did. And so now we're praying and praying and praying that this will go, and it didn't go the way we prayed. Some of you have been praying for things to happen in your life, and it just isn't happening. You're praying for something to change, and it's just not there. It's not happening the way that you want it to. So what do? Because I can tell you what I often want to do. I want to get mad as a hornet. I want to get angry. I want to I want to throw something. I want to break something. Because that's me. That's inside sometimes. You know, that's what seems to want to come out. But the reality is, as I've studied who God is and who He's made me to be and what He's promised me, I begin to understand that just because He didn't give me what I wanted, I can't act like some spoiled child and begin to pitch a fit and act like that. Now, please don't take that wrong, that if you've been there, that's what you've done. But the reality is sometimes He's done so much for me that I often forget, you know, when He doesn't do one thing for me, that I want to get really angry with Him, and then I want to change the whole picture because of one thing. And so today I want to help us understand where He has us, and maybe why you are finding yourself where you are. Now, let me tell you up front that some of these, and when we start out, are going to be like, He's going to tell me this is all my fault. He's going to tell me that didn't happen because of me. Yeah, could be. But I want you to understand, though, as we go down the list, that you're going to be able to understand, if you'll listen long enough and hang in here with me, to find that there could be another reason. But first, I think we got to be honest and be able to look at ourselves and figure out maybe why some things aren't happening in our lives too. Because I know there's things that God hasn't done for me, and it was because of where I was, not where He wanted me to be. So today I want us to be able to look through this. So we got to be honest about it. And we can't just assume that things, you know, because it's all God's fault if things don't fall in the way that we want it to be. So let's just be honest. So hang in there. If you're getting beat up a little bit, hang on. You might need to be getting beat up. But if not, then there may be something else, and I want us to be able to look all the way through it. So let me give you four possibilities. All right? Four biblical possibilities why God didn't answer your prayers. The first one is this: maybe you have a broken relationship. Maybe you have a broken relationship somewhere in your life. Maybe you're thinking, what in the world does that have to do with prayer if I'm mad at somebody, or if I have a broken relationship in my family that I just have chosen not to deal with? Well, let me give you a couple of examples of that. One maybe kind of indirect, and then another one's going to be pretty direct. The first one in Mark 11, verse 24, it says this. Jesus is talking. He says, "Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in what? Prayer." So He's talking about praying, right? We're talking about, why didn't God answer my prayers? He's saying, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Okay, see, I told you, I'm just supposed to ask and it happens. Hold on. And when you stand praying, what is He talking about? Prayer. Absolutely. If you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. very important that we understand that as we think about the things that we ask for in prayer, we need to think about where we are in our standing with the people around us. Now, we've talked about forgiveness, and I've told you some stories about me that, you know, that listen, I don't always get this right either, but listen, when I don't get it right, I need to understand that there may be something between me and God, because there's something between me and somebody else. Our horizontal relationships are definitely important when it comes to our vertical relationships. I've seen people, it happens in our families, it happens in our churches. Man, I've seen people walk around the church and mad and frustrated with me and everything else, but yet praying that something good's going to happen in their life, or and it's just not going to happen. And I can't walk around mad and upset with somebody else and expect something good to happen either, if that's the reality that I'm living in. Our vertical relationships are so important when it comes to our horizontal relationships. We've got to be able to understand that and get this picture, because people, we go around, oh, I love you, I love you. You know, I love God. Oh, God, you're so awesome. You know, and worship and praise. And then get out and be like, I hate that person. I can't stand them. Listen, those two things together, they just don't work. He says if you're praying, then pray. But if there's something between you and somebody else when you're standing there praying, and listen, I don't know about you, but I know when I'm standing there praying and there's something there, I know it. The Holy Spirit shows it to me, and you know it. That there's something there that, you know, it just kind of pops in your mind and you're kind of like, ah, I'll push that away because I'm praising God right now. But you need to understand that praising Him is, there's a problem here. There's going to be some problems there. He says if you stand praying, you need to understand that you've got to go and forgive them. Or maybe it's that you need to go and be forgiven. That you need to understand that there is something in between you and God, and as long as it's there, there's going to be resistance, and there's just some things that are going to bounce back at you that He's just not going to be able to hear. How many of you are parents? Yeah, how many of you have more than one kid? You ever been driving down the road and they're sitting in the back seat and they start fighting? And they're just not getting along. Like, they just can't not touch each other. Man, I pick up my girls from school, and I don't know what happens. All of a sudden, they're like back and forth. They're not even, one's in the front, one's in the back, and they get into it. I don't even know how it happens. But you know what they say then? Hey, Dad, can we go get ice cream? I'm like, I'm not hearing you, because there's something going on here, you know? And so they don't want to get along with each other, but yet they want me to go and give them what they want. And aren't we so much like that? That we want to do life however we want to do it, but then we want God to do everything for us. Man, I'm guilty as charged. You know, I want to do what I want to do, but then God, you know, bless me. It just doesn't work like that, y'all. And it's not that He doesn't want to. It's not that He's angry in the sense of, you know, just wanting to be God and, you know, stand there with some big baseball bat and whop us across the head because we don't do what He wants. It's that He wants us to understand that there's more to this than just us. This world does not spin on me. And it doesn't spin on you. He loves us and wants to give us good things, but at the same time, we got to understand that there are things that come between us. That's a very broad picture, but let me bring it down to a very specific picture for us in the Scripture. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, listen to this. How many husbands we got here? Come on, lift them up, because y'all know y'all getting ready to get busted on. Come on. All right. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner. That doesn't mean that they're lesser. It just says that they're a little bit weaker, that we ought to stand up and be a little bit more and to be willing to, because we've been given the responsibility of the head of the household. We ought to act like it, okay? That's a whole other message and I can preach that one. But as the weaker partner and heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Husbands, if you treat your wife bad, don't expect God to give you what you ask for. Don't expect Him to bless your family. Don't expect Him to hear all the things that you're pleading for. Because He's given you a gift. He's given you a partner, a completer in your life. And He says, listen, if you're praying to me, but you're not treating her the way she deserves to be treated, I'm not going to be hearing you. Women, what in the world is wrong with y'all? Y'all ought to be like, amen. Golly. There you go, if anything. Somebody ought to stand up and shout on that one. Because here's the thing. We need to understand that there's a problem. If there's a problem in our horizontal relationships, there's going to be problems in our vertical. It's important that we get this right. Husbands, don't expect your household to be what you want it to be if you're not treating your wife the way she needs to be treated. It just needs to be that way. He's given you a clear answer to some of the reasons why God's not answering your prayers. Maybe you have a broken relationship. The second possibility is this, that maybe you have the wrong motives. Maybe you have the wrong motives. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. So for all of those lottery prayers that you have prayed, there is your answer. Why you're still broke like me, okay? There it is, because it's got it written all over it, right? There it is. You know, God, if I could win the lottery, I would give the church 10%. Let me just tell you, here's a reality for all of us. We need to understand. If you don't give 10% of 40,000, you're not going to give 10% of 40 million. Because you've totally missed out on the whole reason. That was good. God says maybe you're praying with the wrong motives. Maybe, the Pharisees, man, they did this all the time. They would pray on the street corner, the religious leaders of the time, they'd stand out there and pray so everybody would hear them and give these big, eloquent prayers and all that so people could hear it. But the reality was they weren't praying for the right reasons. They were praying so everybody else would hear them. They weren't praying so that God would answer them. And sometimes we're praying for stuff and we're wanting God to change things, but we're not willing to be changed ourselves. I remember being in college and I would pray. God, would you just send that girl to me? And then I would see this girl and I would say, God, you must have sent her to me. Will you just let her say yes? And I would go and ask her and say, listen, you're the answer to my prayer. And she'd be like, get away from me, you freak. No, it didn't really happen like that. But I remember praying for he would pray and I remember, I prayed to go out with some pretty good-looking women, and, God answered my prayer. I ain't trying to brag or nothing, but the thing was, if you don't believe that, look at what I married, man. See, he sent me a beautiful one. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. But I prayed those prayers, and then they used to joke about me praying and going out with girls and then getting them saved and dumping them. You ask Kelly about my dating ministry. But I would pray those prayers and I would expect, but it didn't ever, it never lasted because I wasn't praying for the right motives. I wasn't praying for, God to send me the right girl. I was praying for God to send me the best looking girl, And so you need to understand that sometimes we pray with wrong motives and we don't get what we ask for because we're asking for our own benefit and not for what God truly wants for us. Praying that my football team wins the Super Bowl, God likes, he just doesn't pick, y'all. And we can pray for our team to win, and we can pray. It just, we're praying for the wrong motives because we want our team to win. Don't be surprised when they don't. We pray for things, and we want God to do things, but the truth is that we're just not there. Now, you know, I get that you're praying for somebody's life, in your life, to be changed. I believe that we want that, but why do you want it to be different? Why do you want to see people be different? Why do you want to see things happen? Why do you want your financial situation to be different so that you don't have to work? I don't know that God's going to bless you so you can just take off and retire for the rest of your life. He still may have something for you to do. I don't know. But be careful about why you pray. Proverbs 16:2 says, "All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord." Maybe you're just not praying for the right thing. Maybe that you're praying, but you're wanting it to happen for some other reason other than what God wants for you. And if you're praying for any other reason than for God to bless you, then I'm telling you, it's the wrong motives. This third thing is this. Maybe you don't believe God will do it. Maybe you don't believe that God will really do what you've asked Him to do. That you've begun to pray because that's what you think you're supposed to do, not because you really believe that it has power and that it can change the reality of your life. I want to be really careful with this one. I want to make sure that we kind of stay focused in on this one. Because listen, this is where we begin to shift over from maybe why God's not answering our prayers based on us to where maybe it's something going on with His will and where we match up. Mark 9 is this really interesting story where this dad had a son that was possessed by a demon. And listen, I don't know about you, but I've believed that I was a dad with a child possessed with demons sometimes. But that's not the case, okay? They're just perfect angels. Anyway, I'm standing here lying to you. No, they're awesome. I'm just joking. I only said that because she was in here. I'm just picking. But we all maybe have been there as parents, especially in that 2 to 3 year old range, right? Where you're really not sure you're going to make it through. Just hang on. It does gets a little better anyway. So then they become teenagers, and I was like, oh my gosh. Anyway, so just hang in there. You get a little break in between. But we hear this story. This man, he had this child that was this son that was possessed by a demon, and so he goes to Jesus, and he's like, you know, I need your help. I need you to do this. And so Jesus is there. He's like, hey, you know, can you do it? And in Mark chapter 22, he says, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus says, if you can, said Jesus with a question. And he's like, everything is possible for him who believes. Everything is possible for him who believes. See, sometimes I think our prayers don't get answered because we're praying them because we're supposed to, not because we believe they will do anything. That we just say, oh, please pray for me, because we know prayer does something, but we don't really necessarily believe that prayer has really got power to do what it says, that you know what we believe it will do, or what we've read it will do. We don't have the belief system in there to really think that when people call on the name of Almighty God to do something in their lives, that something will happen. And I'm telling you that we've got to understand who He is and begin to pray with the power that prayer truly has, and begin to see and let Him do the things that He really wants to do in His name. A lot of people who call themselves Christians really don't believe that God is going to do anything if they even ask Him to. Now, you got to weigh this out. We ask for prayer. Please pray for me. Well, why? Why do you want me to pray for you? Why do you really, really, really want me to pray? Because I want God to do what I want Him to do. Well, hold on. Do you believe that God will do something in it, or do you just believe that God should do what you want him to do. See, I think we got to be willing to pray and believe that God will do what he knows is best. But I think we often just don't even believe that he's going to move at all. That it just needs, we just need to pray, but not expect change from it. And I got to tell you that I experienced that with a lot of people a lot of times. It's like the pastor that new bar moved into town. And the pastor had a problem with this new bar coming into town. It was going to bring, you know, all this bad stuff into town. So he began to pray. He began to organize prayer groups to pray against the bar in town. And man, just, you know, was very outspoken about it. And just always they were having these prayer meetings about the new bar in town. And then one day along came a thunderstorm and lightning hit the bar and burned it to the ground. So the bar owner sued the preacher for his bar getting burned down. Said, it's your fault. And the pastor was like, it's not my fault. I didn't burn the thing down. And so he takes him to court. They're in court and they're arguing this out. The bar owner's like, he prayed and that and told God, you know, to get rid of us. And lightning struck it, burned it down. And so it's his fault. And the preacher's over there like, it's not my fault. You can't hold me accountable for that. We just prayed for him to be gone. And so he's like, well, we're gone. And so they go back and forth. And finally the judge says, wait a minute. Hold on. I can't believe this. I got a bar owner who believes in prayer and a pastor who doesn't. Right? How many times do we pray for stuff and then we're like, I didn't believe that could really happen. I didn't know that was going to be the way. We pray for stuff. We pray for God's will in our lives. And then when it comes along, we're like, I ain't doing that. I won't, you know, I'm going to pray that God will bless me. And that he'll, you know, he'll just pour himself out on me. And then when he does, but it's not in a way that we wanted him to, then we're like, oh no, I can't be from God. We struggle with that. We ask God to do stuff, but then we really don't believe that he'll do it. People get upset sometimes and God doesn't answer your prayers, and you know you've been praying for grandma. Grandma's 99 and she's lived a long and incredible life. She gets sick and we begin to pray for grandma to get better. But then grandma doesn't get better and we get really upset about it. And so we prayed for grandma to be healed, right? But when grandma died, guess what? She got the ultimate healing. Because as a believer in Jesus, grandma is in heaven. She is whole again. She is healthy again. She is jumping and celebrating who Jesus is. Man, she ain't hurting no more. And so you prayed for it. And you better understand that sometimes when we pray for God's blessings, that they don't always look like what we do, that like what we think it should, but the truth is that he did what you asked him to do. We've got to be willing to understand and believe that he does those things. James 1, verse 6 and 7 says, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. Listen, when you pray, you got to believe that he can do what you've asked him to do. You got to believe that he's powerful enough to make those things happen. He is the God who shut the lion's mouth. He is the God who grabbed the sun and held it still. He is the God who can help you overcome where you're at, but you got to be willing to believe that he can do it. Amen. Fourth reason is this. Maybe God has something different. Maybe God just has something different for you. Maybe His plan is just not what you thought it would be. God's will matters more than our own will. We need to understand that first and foremost, that His plan, it trumps our plan. He cares about our plan. He loves us and He wants the best for us. But we need to understand that our plan isn't necessarily His plan. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, this is the confidence. See, we always want to be confident in something, right? Confidence is something that we desire and that we should want to seek out. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He what? He hears us. Say that with me. He hears us. We always say, I wonder if God's hearing me. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, what? Whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. If we ask it according to His will, we know that He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, that we can know that we have it. It's a confidence. We should be able to understand that God may have something different for us, but we can have confidence knowing that when we ask something according to His will, He hears us and He will see that through. You can be confident in it. You can be confident. Confidence of knowing that if we ask anything according to His will, that He hears us and we will have what we ask of Him. We have confidence in knowing that if we're asking God for something outside of His will, even though we believe it's the best thing for us, that we can know that that's not what He's going to give us. Listen, we ask for a lot of things. I've asked for a lot of things that were part of my plan. That would be completely different. If my plan was played out, man, my life would look so much different. I think of all the prayers that I prayed when I was in college that, you know, my thing was that I wanted to own a gym. I wanted to own a chain of fitness centers. And that was my dream. I just wanted to have that. I wanted to run that. You know, I still wanted to do ministry in it, you know, because I wanted to be part of it. But I just, that was my dream. And somewhere along the line, God's will and His plan deviated from mine. And so I could be bitter and angry about that, or I can be blown away and amazed by what He has done that could have never happened through that. I can promise you that if my plan had been played out, I would not be standing on the stage in Albemarle, North Carolina, in front of all of you guys. Fact is, I wouldn't have been on the stage in front of anybody, because that ain't never been me. But it was His plan. And so when I followed through and began to trust His plan over my plan, He took me places that I never thought I would be. I was laughing. I was traveling with this week, went to the conference with a friend from that we began ministry together. And we're going through there and we were talking about the very first church service I ever oversaw. It was the Denton campus of High Rock Church, and we were there. And we were meeting in this little housing development, little clubhouse, and we set up and we began to play. And so at the end of it, I came up and I began to pray. Some of you have heard this story, but I began to pray. And so as I'm praying, I'm into it, and I'm praying. And I'm just into this prayer. And I'm praying, and I'm just praying some more, and I just keep praying. And I pray, and I pray, and I pray, and amen. I had prayed into almost a complete circle. I'm telling you that if I had continued on my plan, my prayers would have been something like that, and I would have turned up looking somewhere else rather than where God wanted me to be. And for some of you here, you're praying prayers and you're asking God to do things completely outside of His will. But instead, when He begins to reveal His will to you, instead of following through and going with all that you've got, you're just saying, you know what? I'm not going to do what you want. I'm going to do what I want. And it's keeping you stuck exactly where you are. I got to believe that's even part of maybe why there might be so many empty seats in the building today. I'm just believing that because some of us are willing to be so focused on our own will rather than on what God has for us, and believing that we ought to do it this way rather than doing it the way that He's trying to show us, that maybe some things just aren't working out the way that He wants us to and wants them to work out. I think it's time for some of us to begin to see, like, God, what do you want me to do? What part do you want me to play? God, I know that things need to be done, but you know what? I'm just not going to go serve in that area. I'm just not going to go tell that person about you. I'm just not going to invite, you know, that family down the street to church with me. I'm just not going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to keep staying right where I'm at, and I'm not going to listen to what you have for me. But I'm telling you that when we pray for things to happen, we got to understand that He may not give us what we want. He may have something completely different for us, and we got to be willing to accept it and live it out. It may not be what we want it to be. It may even completely change how we live. It may bring us into a place where we realize, you know what, the way I'm living is, it's not where God wants me to be. And when we're living outside of God's will, that is a thing that we call sin. And we've got to be willing to repent of that, confess it, repent of it, and let Him change our direction. And so today, that I want to challenge you that maybe that your prayers aren't being answered because, one, there may be a broken relationship somewhere in your life. There may be something that's going on with you and somebody else. There may be some things that, you know, need to be changed. There may be some people that need to understand that your motives aren't where they need to be. There may be something different that you need to do. I'll finish out with this. Let me ask you what you believe about prayer. What do you believe about prayer? Because this time you got to ask yourself this question. What do you believe about it? Daniel 3, verse 17 and 18, we know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're about to be thrown into the furnace here. And man, they ain't scared. They tell Nebuchadnezzar this, that if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and He will rescue us. But even if He does not, we will not serve your gods. We believe this is what we want to happen, but even if that doesn't happen, then I'm still going to trust God to be who He is. When we pray prayers and God doesn't answer them the way that we want, do we still trust Him? Do we quit on Him, or do we still continue on? Let me tell you what I believe about prayer, and I believe it's where we all need to be if we're going to see God continue to grow us and change us. The first is this, that I believe God can. I believe He can. When I pray, I believe He can do whatever I ask Him to do. I believe that He can do anything. The Scriptures teach me that. And so if your marriage stinks and you're praying for it, you better believe that He can change your marriage. He might have to change you, but He can change your marriage. If your finances are bad, He can change your finances. You might have to get a second job, but He can change your finances. You might not be able to spend all that you spend, but He can do it. I believe that He can. We just got to be willing to be in tune with Him and His will. The second thing is, I believe God will do it. I believe that without a doubt that when I ask something, if it's part of His will, I believe that He will do it. He may not do it exactly the way I want, but I believe that He will do it. Because if you're going to pray, you better pray and believe He will. You better be careful what you pray for, because he better believe he will. And then finally this, that even if he doesn't do what I ask him to do, that I still believe. I'm not going to quit believing just because God didn't give me my way. That would be like a spoiled four-year-old who didn't get what he wants, and so now he's mad at mommy or daddy. Even if he doesn't do what I want him to do, I got to believe, and I still will believe that he is who he says he is, and that he loves me just as much, even if he doesn't give me what I want. Some of you are praying for some things to happen in your lives, and I don't know why. I don't know where you fall into that. But all I know is don't quit praying. Don't stop praying that prayer. Maybe you need to begin to pray about does it fit into God's will? What does he want for you in it? What is it there? You know, what is there that could be in the way? But then understand that he may just have something different for you. But believe that he can. And believe that he will. And even if he doesn't do what you want him to do, don't quit believing. Let's pray. God, we thank you for today. God, that we can trust you.